Last week, we talked about the value of a name, how your name, your reputation is so important, and how you have to protect it. And one of the things that can destroy it is somebody who might slander you. And so we see in the law of God for Israel, listen to this statement that God makes through Leviticus here under Moses, bringing these laws to. This is what he says. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Eternal. I am the YHWH, God. I'm the ever-living God. You are not to do this. I am the Eternal. Now, here's the thing. That may be a little bit obscure. The Hebrew, the last part of that Hebrew, people argue, what does that mean? But I'll read it in the New English Translation. It says, and you are, the New American Standard reads, and you are not to act against the life of your neighbor. I am the Eternal. This is a New English Translation, right, reads, you must not go about as a slanderer among your people. They both agree on that. The Hebrew is a little bit vague on this last part, and the New English Translation says, you must not stand idly by when your neighbor's life is at stake. I am the Eternal. Now notice, both things are to help bring society together, to make people love one another, make people care for one another. You're not to go about slandering. What does slandering do? Now, in the United States, a law was passed. It was done by the Supreme Court many years ago, and it was ruled, I think it was in the 70s, maybe it was in the 60s. It was ruled by the Supreme Court that if you are a public figure, if you are out making statements about society, political statements, and you take a stand over here that this is right and that's not right, and you're making political statements, then people have a right. If you put yourself out as a public figure, okay, I'm not putting myself out as a public figure. I'm a minister and a preacher, psychologist, and I'm speaking to a small group. I'm not a public figure commenting on all the political things. But if you put yourself out there as a public figure, then people have a right to attack you. Now, that is, attack what you say and possibly attack you personally, because they might say, well, you're associated with this group, you're associated with that, or you have a business that is interested in this, and that's why you're doing it. So once you become a public figure, you are, and you enter the political arena, you are subject to being attacked. Now, can you sue? You can only sue if a newspaper or an editor or a letter or something has maliciously and sort of deliberately, knowing the truth about you, they said something false. And you have to prove they knew the truth before your lawsuit is any good. That was the law of the way things are in the public when you get into the public arena. So God says here, you know, through the scriptures, you shall not go about as a slanderer. Because if everybody slanders everybody, if anybody, you know, does any good and you slander them, it creates division and troubles in society. And why is that? Why is slander so effective? I say so-and-so did this, so-and-so is no good, he's this way, he's that way, she's this way, she's that way. You will be surprised how many people believe it. People believe things stated to them, words stated to them, because facts are usually established by words. In our minds, we hear the words, oh, really? You know, I heard this. A lot of people hear it. Who'd you hear it from? What's your source? Where did they get it from? How come you're believing this if it's just out of hand? You just believe it and you're not sure. Did you check it yourself or did you just hear it? Or did you do any checking of the facts? And even sometimes the facts checkers can be a little bit prejudiced and leave out certain things. You think you're checking the facts, but they leave out certain facts. And then remember that every fact was established by the law of the Old Testament by two or three witnesses. Now we have other facts today. We have DNA, we have fingerprints, we have voice prints, we have face prints. You know, we have face recognition software. It's more and more difficult to get away with it when you have face recognition software. So again, every fact in the Old Testament times had to be established by two or possibly three witnesses. Okay, listen, Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, the book of Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, one witness shall not rise up against a person, man or woman, for any iniquity or any sin. Okay, I saw so-and-so do this and steal. One person can't do it, and no matter what you say. It's not, you can't do, you have to have somebody else. So here's what the scripture says. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. That's the King James Version, Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. Let me read it in the Christian Standard Bible. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. One witness cannot establish any iniquity or sin against a person. Whatever that person has done, a fact must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So you can't just say, I accuse this person. But I've known churches, corporations, other places where you could be accused by one person. One person says it, and even today you can be on trial by one person, and they have nobody. But it's very difficult because one person comes and you say he did this, and the other person says no, I didn't do that, and so here you got two different testimonies. But sometimes trials are heard on the basis of just one person. So facts are established by words establish them. And that's why one of the great Ten Commandments goes like this in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Everyone thinks that means you can't lie. You can't lie in a court. You can't lie at a testimony. You can't bear a false witness against your neighbor. Why? Because you're going to put them in jeopardy. And Exodus 20 and verse 16, you shall not give, this is how the New English translation, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. No false testimony. You get on the court, it has to be true. You say what you saw, what you heard, what you did, what you thought, I mean, you know, what you heard, saw, or did. Okay. So that commandment is great. So in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 9, slanderous people have been in you. This is the prophet talking to the nation, the Judah of nation. Slanderous people have been in you for the purpose of shedding blood. See, they accuse someone and they put them up in front of the, and you have false witnesses. You can put people up to being false. You can put people up. There are people that are no good. There are people who have no good character. They'll say anything you want them to say, and they will just do this to someone else's hurt. Slander, okay? Slanderous people who say bad things about you. And what is the effect of that slander? They shed your blood. What is the effect? And people believe it. Will you believe things bad about somebody without checking with them? Would you not go to them? Would you not listen? Do you listen to somebody? You don't ask the question, well, where did you get that? How did you know that? Who told you that? What is the source of this? I get people coming to me, they read something. I heard. Oh, you heard it. Where did you hear it? Who'd you hear it from? How did you hear it? You know, they are saying, people are saying, how many people, what people did you talk to who are saying this? Who do you know that's saying this? So tell me a little bit about who said, but no, you know, most people just accept it. You know what they're saying about so-and-so? And of course, if you want to believe it, right, if it fits with your own beliefs and with your own suspicions, you'll believe it less like that. You won't even question it. You just, absolutely, I know it. I believe it right away. Yeah, the effect of it is not good. What is the effect of spreading wrong teaching, wrong statements about people? Listen to Proverbs 26 and verses 20 through 22. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, a whisperer, contention quiets down. Now, the word whisperer is a person who, you know, there's a person who slanders straight out. I mean, they're just bold. But the whisperer is just talking one person at a time, you know, just go that way. Did you say someone? No. I want to tell you something. I will never listen to this. I want to tell you something, but you can't tell anybody I told you. So-and-so said this about you. You can't tell anybody I told you. I will never guarantee that. Never, never. Why would you? Why would I say, you tell me something and I won't tell anybody you told me? I may not tell anybody you told me, but I'm going to go find out what was said. I will never promise you, if you tell me something, I won't tell somebody else about it. Because what? How do I know? Especially now, I may not tell anybody. I may not. But on the other hand, if it's something that's hurtful and damaging for relationships, I may. Right? You guys, why would you keep it secret? Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. This is from the New International Version. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. You see what happens? The words of the whisper are dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. You believe them. Like charcoal to hot embers, the wood and wood to fire. So the contentious man is to kindle. He wants to kindle strife. Why does the whisper do? It brings on troubles. Troubles. Maybe you'll never say anything about it, but it separates people. If someone told me so-and-so doesn't like you and he said this about you and so, and then they don't care about you, I would wait to see what happens here. Who's, is this my friend or not? I may ask them. I see what our relationship is, but I don't want to believe anything that just people tell you. We are warned over and over about evil speaking. Here's from the New Testament, quoting Psalms 34. This is quoted in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. And he's quoting, for he says, now here's the quote, the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. What's wrong? Let me read it in the Psalm 34, verse 12 through 14. Who is the man who desires life and loves the length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, seek shalom, seek peace. And pursue it. Pursue peace. You gotta actively go for it. So The scripture says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked person just pours out evil things. That's Proverbs 15, verse 28. They hear it, they just spread it. It just goes out, just like that. But the heart of the righteous thinks about it. Do I want to say this? How is this going to be taken? What effect will my words have on other people and on relationships here and there? What effect? Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's writing, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all your malice, all your hateful thoughts and hateful. Let me read that in the New English Translation. You must put away every kind of bitterness, anger, wrath, quarreling, and evil and slanderous talk. Because slanderous talk creates division. That's why God didn't want it in the ancient Israel. It creates division. The society can't get along if you allow slanderous talk. And then if you allow it, you slander me, I slander you, he slanders that person, he slanders. Everybody's divided. And they're going to just go on and on with this kind of crazy slanderous talk. Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3 and verse 8. Reading from Paul's writing again. But now you also put them all aside. Here are the things you're supposed to put aside. Anger. Now, it's okay to be angry at evil, but anger, just a form of anger. Wrath, just goes all like you're going to explode like a volcano. Put that aside. Because when you're acting under this emotion of total wrath, you're going to say things you regret. You're going to do things you regret. Now, this goes for family. This goes for your family, for your relatives, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your, you know, friends, a family and a community. It goes for a church. It goes for an organization. You know, I've seen organizations, they've just been torn apart, people slandering and talking against one another, creating hostility. Paul says here, now put aside all these anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Let me read it in the New English Translation. But now put off all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, abusive language from your mouth. Abusive language, just filthy, dirty, abusive, calling people ugly names. Keep that away from you. Keep that away from your family. Keep that away from people you love. Keep that away. Don't do that. In Romans 1, chapter 1 and verse 29, Paul's talking about the Gentiles, how they turned away from God and they turned away from acknowledging God. And what do they become filled with? Listen to Romans 1, verse 29. I'm reading from the King James Version. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, meaning fornication here is the Greek word porneia. It generally means all types of sexual sins. Does not mean single sex. It means all types of sexual sins. Every immoral kind of sexual behavior, every immoral things, porneia, from which we get pornography in our world. It's the Greek word porneia. And it means sexual sins of all kinds, wickedness. They're filled with all unrighteousness, sexual sins of all kinds, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. They're full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. And whisperers, they're whisperers, okay? Let me read that in the New American Standard Version. Romans 1, verse 29, being filled. So they leave God. They should be filled with the Holy Spirit. They should be filled with the love of God. But what are they filled with? They're filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. says Paul. Romans 1, verse 29, filled with all the unrighteousness. So they're gossip. They just spread it along. They're filled with this. This is the way, imagine a society, a group of people, a society filled with this is the world they live in. Unrighteousness, sexual immoralities, covetousness. They're filled with envy, full of envy. They don't want you to have it. They don't necessarily want it themselves. They just don't want you to have it. They don't want you to do good. They're not necessarily working hard for them to be prosperous. They just don't want you to be prosperous. They hate everybody who's prosperous and doing well. They don't like that. They're filled with wickedness, figuring out a way to do it, and greed, and evil, and envy, and murder, and strife. This is the society. This is a terrible society. Terrible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes to the Corinthians. Now, they were having trouble. He was trying to get this church straightened out because they had people come in, a lot of whispers, a lot of slanders, and they would slander Paul. Paul would come in, give his teaching of Jesus Christ and the Christ sacrifice and what it is for us and how we are made righteous through that. He's doing this. And here's what he writes in the King James Version now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall find you such as I would. I will not find you such as I would. I'm not going to find you such as I would like. And that I shall be found to you such as you would not like. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, and swellings and tumults. All right, that's the King James Version. Now, the word backbitings in the King James is the Greek word katalalos. And that's katalalos. Katalalos. Katalalos means slanders. Whisperings means psiurismos, and it means swellings, or it means whisperings. One is outward, the other is secretive, okay? This is 2 Corinthians. Now I'm going to read this in the New American Standard Version, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and you may find me by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, and gossip, arrogance, and disturbances. We're going to have strife, disturbances. So there are two actionable things. In court, you know, here he says slanders. These are just people speak right out at it, slander you, telling you you're no good and all that. Now, in politics, when they're running for office, they say the worst things about each other. You ever notice that? Worst things. And then they come back and they're there together. And if they're on, and sometimes even in the same party, they say the worst things about each other when they're running for the office. And then afterward, one gets it and the other doesn't get it. And they, okay, well, it's all forgotten. It's crazy. Did you really believe that? Or you don't? Now, you know, again, when you're on my team, when I like you, when you support me, all's forgotten. And people in the politics get over it. You got to have tough skin to be in politics. You have to be, your mind cannot be, oh, he said that about me. How can he believe that? How can he say that? How could he do that? They do it, and then they forget about it the next moment. But there are two actionable, that is, court actions in the English law. Two actionable things in English law, and America has adopted most of that. One is slander, that is what you say out loud against somebody's character You slander them without any proof. The other is libel, L-I-B-E-L, libel. That means you wrote about them in the newspaper, in a magazine article, on the front page or whatever. You wrote about it. It's libelous. You said things that were not true. You did not have truth as a defense, and you libeled them. Okay, that both of these are actionable causes in a court of law. You can sue this person. Some cases sue for millions, and you're in the if you're in government or you're in a private business, a business will sue you. Absolutely, you can't go out and slander a business. And corporations have the right to sue. All right. Now, here are causes of strife. What causes people to be upset? I don't know if you saw Knott's Landing years ago. They used to have Knott's Landing. And one of the women, her name never comes to me easily, but she played the part of a woman there on that Knott's Landing. She's a very beautiful woman too. She's very, very beautiful. I've met her in person since that time. And she's very nice. She's a very nice person, but she played a very bad person on that. And she was always telling people and putting this word into the so-and-so, turning this person against that person. And you always wonder, when are they going to catch up that it's her, that she's doing all that? You always wonder that in that thing. So they do put it out there of what a lot of people we just don't realize how much that kind of thing can go on. So listen to Proverbs 16 verse 27-28. A worthless person digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. A perverse person spreads strife. It could be a person, it could be man or woman. A perverse person spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Even people who have been real careful. Slanderer. How does he do that? Because people believe it. I tell you, so-and-so said this about you. And I don't tell anybody, but so-and-so said, you know, that person really doesn't like you. They said this separates if you believe it. Now, how can he separate you if you don't believe it, but you believe it? See, because you don't check. Most people don't check. They just accept it as a fact. What he's saying must be true, and I'll accept it. So the perverse person spreads strife, and worthless person, he's no good. Worthless, meaning no good person, digs up evil. You know that, and now you understand the Proverbs are written in poetic language, and they're hyperbole. Okay, a worthless person. Who's a worthless person? Well, nobody's really worthless if we can convert them, if they can come to sorrow, if they say I'm sorry, this is God's law, you need to repent, and they say I'm sorry, I did a wrong thing, and I will repent. Then, you know, all of us have been worthless at one point, I guess. Here's the punishment for a slanderer in ancient times. Psalm 101, verses 4 and 5 says, a perverse heart shall depart from me, says God. This is Proverbs 101, verses 4 and 5. I will know no evil. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Listen, again, it's poetic language, but very powerful. But it gives you God's intent. No one who has a haughty look or an arrogant heart will I endure. God does not like you, me, any of us looking down on somebody else. God hates that. What makes you better? What makes me better? What? Nothing. Nothing makes us better. We all have intrinsic value as human beings. We're all the same, you know. In the sense we're all human beings. So God hates it when somebody thinks they're better than somebody else, by intrinsic value. There's no intrinsic value in you or me that's better than somebody else. God created them in his image too. Psalm 140, verses 9 through 11. As for the head of those who surround me, this is David, may the mischief of their lips cover them. May burning coals fall upon them. May they be cast into the fire, into the deep pits from which they cannot rise. May a slanderer not be established in the earth. May evil hunt the violent man speedily, violent person speedily. May evil come to them. So here's a cursing psalm, okay? A cursing psalm, cursing the people who do these bad things. Listen, you know, it's really strong language, you know. May burning coals fall upon them. May they be cast into the fire and into the deep pits from which they cannot read. May the slanderer not be established. He dies. His family dies. He's wishing, you know, I'm going to curse you. I'm going to curse your progeny. I'm going to curse your future generations. They're not going to survive. They're not going to do well. Now, here's the penalty for a false witness. Listen to Proverbs 24, verse 28. A false witness. I go in and I deliberately say false. Now, most people don't do that, but some people do. Some people do, and even in courtroom, they deliberately say they lie. Oh no, yeah, he did it. I saw him. He did it. Proverbs 24, verse 28. Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause. I mean, if your neighbor really did a bad thing, you know, you have cause, but don't be a witness against your neighbor. Nobody's going to call me and want me to say something that I of a person I like, person that's nice to me, person I have to live with in the neighborhood, and so on. And do not deceive with your lips. There it is. That's Proverbs 24, verse 28 from the New American Standard Version. Do not be a witness against your neighbor, because what will happen if you're a witness against your neighbor? What will happen? Well, you're going to ruin your relationship with them. And do not deceive with your lips. You know, that's one of the ways we just lie. You know, people lie with their lips. Now, listen to the punishment that comes when you are malicious, evil witness. Deuteronomy chapter 19. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Deuteronomy chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. If a malicious witness, in other words, he wants to hurt you, okay, rises up against a person, whether male or female, to accuse this person of wrongdoing. I'll come by. I saw this person do this, and he stole from that. He went into the, he did this. He's a malicious witness. Then both the people, both women, both men, or man and a woman, they both of these humans have a dispute. Then both of the people who have the dispute shall stand before the Eternal. The YHWH, before the priests. So here's the Eternal. Then he has his priests, and they have judges who will be in office in those days. They have to come. The judges shall investigate thoroughly. Do you know what a thorough investigation is? You're going to ask this person and ask that person. And ask this person. If the FBI investigates you, they will be asking everybody that they think you know or who knows you. They will ask everyone they know. They will be writing down copious notes of who you are, what you did, what so-and-so said about you, what so-and-so said about you. They will go back even if you have teachers that are still alive, I don't have many teachers that taught me that are still alive now, but if when I was in my 30s and 40s, if I wanted to be an FBI agent, they would go back to teachers in high school, to students that were in my class. They will ask people about me. They will have a whole dossier. They will have a whole thing. They will investigate thoroughly your character, your general demeanor, your record, what kind of person you are, what people said about you in your class. Okay? The judges shall investigate thoroughly. And if the witness is a false witness, and that witness, that person has accused his brother or sister falsely, accused you without falsely. He's not telling you the truth. Because you got witnesses saying, no, this person absolutely doesn't do that. This person, I have no doubt that this person is true, and they'll investigate thoroughly. Then you shall do to the accuser just as he had intended to do to his brother or sister. He's making a malicious statement. What would be the penalty that person, if he were guilty, what would he get? And you have to do it to him. In other words, in ancient Israel, you have to be very careful about your accusations, because if you're wrong, and if you've done it wrongly, and you're not careful about what you say, you could be up for the court. You could be punished. Then you shall do to him just as he had intended to do to his brother or sister. Thus shall you purge evil from among you. Stop that kind of behavior. When he has to suffer the penalty that he had hoped to inflict on his fellow Israelite, then the rest will hear and be afraid and will never again do such an evil thing among you. So you hear, boy, if you go to court and you testify and it's not true, you get the penalty that you had hoped the other person got. Thus you shall show no pity. It shall be life for life, eye for eye, if he hoped to get the guy's eye out, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. It's a just penalty. That's limiting your retaliation to precisely what the other person had hoped to do. Proverbs 14 and verse 25. Listen, a truthful witness saves lives, but he who utters lies is treacherous. A truthful witness. You know, I was in a parking lot at a restaurant shortly before the feast a couple of years ago. I think it was 3 years ago. And I started to back out of this parking lot. And as I saw a vehicle. Now, most people came in this way. And they were on the side. I was on the side where if you came in, I would be on their right. They would be passing me. I would be on their right. And I was trying to back out. Now I saw this big SUV went by me. Okay, so he went by. And then he must have seen that I was backing out. So he comes flying back full force, fast. And I'm trying to back out. He's trying to get behind me before I back out. And he's coming this way, and he hits me. I hear my bumble, bumble, and all this. And he gets out. He is so angry. He wanted to blame me for backing out. I saw him go by me. I'm thinking people coming this way. Well, a very nice person, a nice couple, and she was very, very pretty, very beautiful young woman. And she said, I saw that. He's backing up. And you saw him go by, and you're pulling out because you thought he was gone. He's backed up. He backed right into you. And she said, I'll testify. Came over, she and her boyfriend, maybe her husband, and gave me her name and her phone number. If you need me, call me here and on that. Nice young woman, very, very sweet, very pretty. And she said, I saw that, and I'll be glad to be a witness in the case. It never went to any case. He was at fault. I was at fault. I guess they said that both of you are at fault. And so you each pay for your own car. But listen, a truthful witness saves lives. How true. You want somebody who sees, if you have an accident and they said, I saw that. It was their fault, that other guy's fault, not your fault, the other woman's fault, not your fault. See? So there it is. And then Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. There are a lot of people realize how much power they have by lying about something, by telling false things. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you're going to play with that, you're going to take the consequences of it. We'll talk more about slander, whispering, gossip, whatever, libel, in next week's sermon. Join me as we end today's service with prayer and thank God for his many blessings. Father, as we come before your wonderful throne, the throne of grace, the throne of wonderful favors, with Jesus Christ, our high priest, sitting at your right hand. And we picture that in the glories of your world, the glories of your throne room, that the elders and the cherubim and the seraphim and all the things that you have and the glories that praise your name day and night forever and ever. We praise your name in our hearts, in our lives, and forever and ever. We thank you and appreciate all that you do. We pray, Father, for Chris, who has this Parkinson's and weakness. Please help her with her recovery. We're blessed to hear that she's doing well, and we ask you to continue to bless her. With Terry Kirk and others, Father, with so many fighting cancer, like Sharon Hamrick and Pam Smoyer, please remember them. Please remember all your people who cry out to you, Father. We know that you do. We know that you hear. We know that you love them more than we do, but we want to show our love and care. In Jesus' name, we ask your blessing on our day and our blessing that we may be wonderful, upstanding people, that our lips may praise you, that our lips may be saved lives, and that we will be truthful in all that we do. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory belongs to you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.